Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, Google is officially better than Apple. Black Panther trailer just dropped and Amazon's buying Whole Foods. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down tech news, nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective. Still clown with the underground.
Tupac Shakur. Happy birthday.
We can say sweater brother Reggie. Brother Majorly. I don't know why your girl keeps paging me. happy birthday Tupac. He would have been what, 46?
Well, I think it's 46. It might be 45. It's one of those.
I think it's 46. I think we're actually 10 years older than me.
Right.
So that would make. So if I'm 36 now, right, that means he's 46.
Yeah, because you look 36.
Yeah, because I was born. He was born in 71. I was born in 81.
Oh, okay. That's how it works. That's how those numbers work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just before we jump into this, are you excited about the Tupac movie?
I saw the movie already.
Oh, you saw the movie.
Big disappointment.
I heard it wasn't that good.
It's not. It's no. True. The critics are correct on this one. It's not very good.
Okay.
I don't want to. I mean, let's talk about our topics.
We can
talk
all
about.
Oh, right, really? You're not yeah, really okay. Jada came out and was very very critical of the portrayal. Not so much of the performances. She was very quick to say, you gave
she could
two young actors. You got to put your heart and soul in the performance, but the actual content.
It wasn't factual, is what she was saying.
Yeah.
Like the nature of the relationship and how it was communicated through the film, it wasn't factual.
They come at me, Jada! I'm gonna come out.
And I know that she's very protective of her relationship with Tupac, or just Tupac in general, so it doesn't surprise me that she would, hop on Twitter and say that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true. It's true.
All
so,
right. Well,
yeah.
R.P. Tupac clearly lives on. I tell you who else is a horrible segue. Tell you who else lives on. Whole Foods Market.
Wow.
Speaking of Tupac.
Man.
So Amazon, our guys over at our guy Jeff Bezos is at it again. Like, he is saving these brands and these companies and these things that may or may not should or shouldn't be saved. Most famously, it was the Washington Post, which was on its way out and going down, but Bezos said no, and he saved it, breathed life into it. Now it's they're out there, maybe saving our democracy, like doing some of his best work since Watergate,
investigative reporting.
But whether or not that's profitable or not, I don't know if that's making him any money or if it's making any money, but they're definitely out there, doing some good journalism.
Yeah.
So Whole Foods, he's buying Whole Foods for just a quick $14 bill.
Pretty much.
No big deal. He just sort of said, he has a statement sort of saying, look, they've have a commitment to bringing wonderful food to the people, and I want to continue that, see that commitment continue. And he's going to keep the headquarters in Austin, and he's going to, as we know from working with Whole Foods years ago, it was extremely decentralized. Now they're trying to sort of get it more centralized and ready to rock. And I don't know. Is this a good move or a bad move? And is this just another move to get Amazon fresh?
I mean, I think it's definitely a good move for Amazon. And definitely in terms of, what they're good at doing is literally controlling the whole supply chain. And so everything from creating a product to how it's distributed to how it reaches the consumer. Amazon has figured out a way to do that multiple times in different categories. And this is just another example of that. I think it's bad, though, for the employee of Whole Foods, because as we know, with the case study that I think they did in Seattle with the store that doesn't have, at least with the bookstores and the grocery store.
Yeah, that one grocery store.
Yeah, it doesn't have cashiers, and it doesn't have people working in the grocery store.
Just walk in,
so
pick up your shit, and keep it moving.
That's a bad move for the employees of Whole Foods, because the whole concept of automation, like, he's going to integrate that technology into these stores, and that could really, axe people's paychecks and jobs, and that affects feeding families. So,
but a lot of what Whole Foods is about is sort of this artisan experience. This is like farm and table situation. You have these fresh meats that are butchered there on site. You have all these vegetables that are coming from the farm. You have you have the food bar where you can go and get pizza made. You can't automate all that shit.
Why not?
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what. Whole Foods, the one in Silver Lake, Whole Foods 365, is pretty much like that already. Like, they've only got like a handful of employees, and everything else is like grab and go, the whole store. So maybe that's the way they're going. I don't know.
But the things that you listed, those are, I mean, those are important, integral to running a supermarket. But again, cashiers, like that's people's, that's all day. You know what I'm saying? Like the people aren't cutting meat all day. You know what I'm saying? So, like, how do you protect people's, you know, source of income? And I think that's the thing that I would be wary about. I think it's great for them as a company. I think they're going to kill it. I think how they integrate it with everything else that they're doing would be very interesting. But
well, maybe
that's a big debate, how technology and automation and jobs,
it's inevitable, but the same debate when you talk about fossil fuel versus renewable is maybe those jobs are redistributed.
But
doesn't mean that they go away.
Where do they go?
All the fossil jobs don't go away. They presumably get redistributed into the renewable technology.
Well, if I had that job, it goes away for me. Somebody else might get that opportunity.
Well, you need to get your renewable game up there. Right. You need to get to studying on some solar.
I got to go to Ralph's now.
You need to get
to Albertsons.
It's a good point, but you did make one good point about the whole not one good point, many good points, but the point you made about automation and supply chains is very interesting, because they are gonna, you know, how that food gets from the farm all the way to Whole Foods and to the consumer is something that no one does better than Amazon. I'm sure that thing will be airtight.
They got it on lock, baby.
And you think about, you know, if you talk about a giant food, you know. Source or food chain or supermarket chain like Whole Foods, with major distribution centers in Austin, Texas, they go all the way out all over the country now.
Yeah,
like what's that going to do for those Amazon customers who are able to utilize Whole Foods as pickup spots for other things?
That's what I'm saying, baby. I mean, it's just got it all locked. And I mean, we haven't even mentioned like the usage of drones, like how they're already testing that with other products, and now they'll be able to do that with. You have the retailers all throughout the country, and you'll be able to pick up stuff from your local grocery store and
right to Whole Foods.
There it is, exactly.
Drone landing pad around back.
That's what I'm saying.
Where the carts used to be. You know, good. I'm not mad at Bezos at all. I think he's doing a good job, and you know, his next thing. The United States Post Office. When he buys the post office, he's gonna rule it all.
He's taking us to Mars first.
Okay, we'll see what
he's taking us to Mars.
Speaking of which, we have the Pentagon is busy at work building some robotic Top Guns. Speaking of like the jobs being taken away, you know, the idea of having, you know, we train all these fighters, we train all these pilots, we build all these very expensive planes in the event of combat. The thought now is we are in a world of drone strikes and drones. Thought now is having these robotic wingman fighter jets to fly alongside real pilots. So instead of having a squadron, you have it sort of like quintuples, you know, your entire fleet, because you have one pilot and five wingmen that are robotic.
Absolutely.
And so instead of having five pilots, you got one pilot to every five wingmen, and you go out and you do your thing.
I mean, I think it's a natural progression and evolution of drones. I mean, as of right now, we utilize militaristically, we use drones for surveillance and then, like you said, airstrikes. But now to be able to have a fleet of drones that can actually fly before you, and if there's, you know, some danger ahead, the drones will get attacked first, and then you'll be able to navigate and weave through that, and then, you know, do whatever you have to do. If it's striking, if it's picking up something, whatever. But I think that's, and also they're talking about doing it underwater with, like, to protect submarines.
Yeah,
to have like underwater drones that go searching for mines, so that the submarines can go through and safely. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, nuclear. I mean, someone had to deliver that nuclear payload, and those submarines are very, very dangerous and very valuable.
Expensive
and also valuable.
I mean, that's the thing. Like,
part
these
of the
drones,
nuclear triad.
Only $2 million versus like a manned. Piloted aircraft, that's like you're talking about 20, 30, 40 million plus.
Yeah, so it's a good way to save some money. And, you know, did you see the movie, someone with Shia LaBeouf? Red Eye, Golden Eye?
No.
No, it was one of those, the central drone command takes over the world and hacks into everything. And
What's that one called?
He's running around town and things like
that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I see you, Shia.
Eagle Eye.
Yeah,
there we go.
I'm the Eagle Eye, Shia. Don't turn left. I got you. Yeah, I'm afraid. That movie wasn't good, but
not at all.
I'm afraid that this is, you know, I can't, this is back to my, what do you call it, cybernet you know, a Skynet.
Yeah.
My Skynet Matrix theory. So, anyway, we'll see. It could be interesting. More trouble for your boy, Travis, man.
That's
your
not boy, my boy.
Man, Uber, man, he can't catch a break.
Hey, like, man. We talked about this weeks back, man.
Yeah.
When it rains, it pours.
And he's still, like, it just cannot get out of his own way here. And finally, he's like, I'm going to take a leave of absence. Like, you know, just to take the heat. The block is way too hot. Like, he should have been gone, but he's gone. Like, probably three lieutenants around him have been let go.
Yeah.
He's got some problems. I mean, what it feels like is not unlike the whole Fox News situation. It feels like you're dealing with a culture, an entire culture of, you know, the frat boyish culture that permeated through all the executive suites of Uber, and it's hard to believe that the man at the top is like blameless.
Of course.
But, you know, he's
and it's definitely a culture. Like, their brand tenets are kind of salacious in the some of the things that they are promoting, just in terms of the thinking that goes on in the chambers of Uber. But obviously it has to be a top down.
When you send an Uber, like the back grabs your ass,
right? It has to be a top down change, right, though. And I think that, you know, him exiting I don't know if I would say it's an excuse, but using, you know, the death of his mother as the reason, I think is pretty convenient. I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder what's going to happen as it relates to what, you know, how they're going to advance with autonomous driving, because that's really how they're going to maintain their edge in the game, in the marketplace. And right now, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do that, especially with Google.
He's got to go. Yeah, it's a situation. He's got to go. Like, I mean, all the major shareholders, the board, and there's some major heavy hitters who are on that Uber board, and all of them are looking around like, he's got to go. Problem is, they all love this guy, and this is the guy who, you know. So
I don't think he's got to go. I think he just has to be silent and invisible, and just orchestrate from the back, which he plans on doing, which I think is smart. Let me remove myself, and hey, let me, like he said, for there to be a Uber 2.0, there has to be a Travis 2.0. So I like that philosophy. Right. We'll see what happens, though.
All right, we'll see what happens. I'm less optimistic than you, but we'll see.
You'll still be getting an Uber.
I'm a Lyft now, man. I'm like 90% off Uber.
Okay.
I only get Uber. Uber has more choices, but now Lyft's got the SUV joint now. Because I only roll in SUVs, by the way.
Right, exactly.
So they got the luxury, the SUV or Bentleys.
Okay.
That's all I do.
That's it.
I mean, you know, point A to point B.
Hey, brother.
The Lyft is sort of stepping up their game, so we'll see.
Yeah, they have to.
They're really seizing the moment and really trying to, like, you know, to take care, to, you know, get some of this market share. It'll be interesting to see if they surpass Uber.
Definitely not.
Do you think they won't?
Absolutely
not. Not even in brand. I mean, you can't. Uber is going to cross over into the Kleenex Q-tip.
Uber is global. Lyft is not global like that.
No, you're right. That's, you know, what you keep saying.
And then too,
you're very right with that.
Too. I mean, is Lyft going to offer us autonomous driving? Are they even? Do they even have like a department that's developing that right now?
Yeah.
I don't believe they do. Like, maybe that they make a partnership or they get acquired by someone bigger. Maybe then. But I know that. I mean, I read a few weeks back that Lyft and Google might have been partnering to do some stuff. So maybe that's where it comes from. You know what I'm saying? A partnership with Google.
Right.
And that will definitely trump Uber if that happens.
We'll see. We'll see about that. I think that the other thing I was going to say is that they have the Kleenex and Q-tip thing, where like you don't say cotton swab, you say Q-tip, you don't say, you know, tissue, you say Kleenex. You don't say I'm gonna take a personal driver. You know, you say I'm gonna take an Uber. You know, so I mean, they've got
it's
that,
part of the lexicon.
Yeah, part of the lexicon. So, you know, we'll see what else goes. Speaking of things that are part of the lexicon, Netflix. There's a big net neutrality protest happening. Netflix is going to be part of that. Obviously, Netflix is big and huge on net neutrality because they're the people who stand to hurt the most by this. If these other, like, you know, let's say Comcast and Time Warner, these other media companies, you know, media company say like, hey, you want Netflix? Too bad that your streaming is only going to go so fast. You should try our streaming service. Time Warner Flicks or whatever, or, you know, or whatever it's going to be. So Netflix is really wants this net neutrality situation, so they'll never outgrow the fight.
Yeah. I think it's good. It's and good. I think that they're doing it with the other tech companies and creating like a Band of Brothers type of front, and I think that's great. Makes and sense. I mean, I will say that they were pretty quiet, you know, a few months back, though. It's just interesting how they're taking that turn now, because I think maybe they see how gravely it would affect their bottom line and their business. But I think it's good to have that part of their social responsibility integrated into their brand identity, to be able to stand for something that really affects all of us. We all deserve to have fair internet access to information, because it propels our dreams.
Yep.
And to have the ISPs be able to control that at any time or location or environment, I think it's just bad. So a big titan like Netflix and Amazon getting in the conversation,
yep,
good stuff.
Good stuff. I agree. I'm having some just adverse feeling about Netflix in general. I don't know why.
What does that mean? You gotta unpack that one.
I'm just feeling like, I don't know if I'm gonna pack it now. I'll say for another time. Right.
I'm like, what?
The WannaCry computer worm, the one that sort of made gave a lot of people hell last month. NSA has officially leaked it to, surprise, surprise, your boy Kim Jong Un over in North Korea.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know what to say about this. No shocker here. There, you know.
No, I think what's interesting about this story is that a country like North Korea that doesn't have a strong computer technology infrastructure has been able to do this, has been able to pair a ransomware technology with and be able to affect multiple countries, thousands of people. I think that's the story I think it's for them, it's showing the world, like, hey, okay, whatever sanctions you want to place on us, whatever you know proposal you have against us, like, we still gonna mess with you.
And people say, you know, where is this stuff coming from? And this is not like, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but people are like, oh, you know, in North Korea, all of a sudden they just messing with us. This actually is, and I'm not defending North Korea in any way, shape, or form, please God, but this is really retaliation. I mean, the Obama administration has been conducting not so secret sort of cyber ops against North Korea and Iran, sort of really, this is, you know, stopping their nuclear program, like spitting centrifuges backwards and having stuff explode, like doing all kinds of stuff covertly to really just keep pushing back their nuclear program, the progress. Yeah. Like, and they're really, it's really sort of not easy, but they've been really effective in doing that with both Iran and North Korea, and really sort of like using cyber warfare to sort of keep them at bay, keep them from, I mean, they're still years away, but like they've been really good at keeping them years away. And North Korea knows this. Right. And North Korea is really upset about this, and that's why they like that did a full all out attack ever since the Sony hack,
right,
and it hasn't really stopped since. So this isn't coming out of nowhere, and this is why you know Kim Jong Un is spending so much resources and trying to figure out how to hack the United States. And I just hope that our cyber game is up, because they're going to continue.
And that's the thing with the cyber warfare, like it evens the playing field, because it's hard to pinpoint, it's hard to track, and like, it's literally a couple guys in a room, or 100 guys in a room could take out the infrastructure of a country.
Yeah.
And so everyone has the ability and potential to do that. Well, that's what's interesting about it.
I mean, power grids and banks are really what we know. Power grids and banks, number one, you know, nuclear.
Satellites,
number two. Communication systems. So, yeah, man, this is definitely something to keep an eye on. The news is in the Apple versus Google power rankings, in terms of like, is this something that Brand Z Global Rankings does every year? It looks like Google is up on top. Google is the most recognized brand in the global brand rankings, bigger than Apple.
Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. Yeah. What do you make of this?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Google is a monster. Google's a killer.
Right.
Like, I mean, they have so much going on around the world. And I think post Steve Jobs, like, Apple has kind of like had an interesting, you know, navigation. Like, they've had some hit and miss launches, like, especially with, you know, the Apple Watch is one. And I think, you know, it's hard to maintain the awe and shock globally, and I think Google does a better job of doing that. And the way, you know, we use the products are different than versus Apple and Google. I think that Apple is obviously more sexier, but Google is everywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally everywhere.
Well, not only that, like, you know, the brand value went up. I mean, Google is $245 billion, Apple is $234 billion, and we're talking about a mere $9 billion or $11 million swing, but that's still, they're still on top.
Hey.
So, I don't know. We talk about this all the time that Google is making all these moves with the the phone and the Google Assistant and the, you know, and the their whole ecosystem. Maybe, I mean, we may look up one day and be all in the Google world.
I mean, we kind of are in the Google world.
Yeah.
What did you just look that up on?
DuckDuckGo.
Okay.
My new search engine, DuckDuckGo.
I mean, not just
that. Y'all don't know about it.
You can't leave out Amazon and Facebook. They're three and four. You know what I'm saying? And these are the biggest companies of the world today, you know, that are just dominating, you know, perception and helping to move culture along. I think it's just crazy how they're almost neck and neck though.
I agree. Moving on, speaking of Google, Google is now doing something. They're or Alphabet, I should say. Well, I'll bet Google really investing in this sort of these modular homes. They're really getting into the whole modular home game, which is like so futuristic and scary. But like, you know, there's basically these sort of like back in the day, they used to be sort of like almost like trailer things. And now they're like shipping container types, but they can be really dope and spacious and used all over the place in other countries. And now they're coming here as a way to help with the housing crunch in Silicon Valley, because Silicon Valley, man, it's tough. It's really hard out there.
You gotta
have
your paper right if you want to get into the market.
Very difficult out there. Yeah. I lived out there in '95. I wish I still held on to that place, man. I'd be rich, but I didn't. And
I like this because I think it goes with the times in terms of just being more environmentally conscious, using more sustainable materials and resources, and utilizing the space that we have, or the limited space that we have, to be able to facilitate people's lives, especially with the influx of people coming into that area, of brilliant people coming into that area, to be able to have, hey, we have housing for you, and it's not going to be a million plus for something small. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's something that we could put on our campus, or something that's adjacent to our campus that we can help facilitate the community. I like the fact that they're exploring with those type of things. And I mean, we've covered stories like that before in urban areas where they might build like a car dealership instead of having like a plot of land, they build this straight up vertically.
Yeah.
And so this is another example of that.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Do you want to live like in the middle unit of one of those fucking Jenga houses?
What's the difference of living in New York? What's the difference?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It just so feels, I don't know. It's something about it feels very, I guess this is the future, though.
Hey, this and the fact that you can make that in a controlled climate, and you don't have to, like, I mean, you don't have to, like, kill the workers for making it. You just transport it and place it, and it's ready to go. I love the concept.
Jenga it out. Just don't put me on the top.
No, you don't want the penthouse Jenga?
No. It's going to fall off. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, man.
All right. So, whatever. Good for Alphabet. I mean, I'm sure the workers will be very happy in their climate control box. What else? Oh, so this story real quickly. 30 media companies are pulling together to help fight online piracy, which I think is a good idea. I mean, you know, it's just strength in numbers. I mean, they're all getting together to form this alliance to sort of really blockade piracy. This is coming off the heels of the whole Pirates of the Caribbean thing that happened with Disney and their movie allegedly being hacked. Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean. That's what there is. So they now are trying to make a move to prevent that by joining together and using all the resources. I mean, you know, sure.
Hey, I mean, it's always like a teetering thing between the hackers and the creators, and it's always will exist. Like, we'll create the content, and someone will figure out how to get the content for free. So, I mean, but I love the fact that the companies are banding together to, you know, be vocal against, you know, piracy, and also to create a conversation, also create new technology to prevent it. So I like it. I believe that as a creative, you should be compensated for your work. And yeah, I mean, any way to subvert, you know, piracy, I think is a good thing.
So. I agree too. Moving on to this story about they already had the automatic burger flipper. Now this company's made a machine for a mere $1.8 million. You can cook 400 burgers per hour.
I need this at the house.
400 burgers per hour.
That's retarded.
I don't know. This is on some Wall-E shit. This is on some definite. I mean, who's eating 400? But first of all,
hey man, they trying to get this money.
But is this like they're 400 burgers an hour? They're freezing them and like sending them off. Like, I want my burger. I want an artisan burger that's made fresh with some dope shit on it. I don't know if I want
I think that's what he. That's what the robot does. It's just saying that it's fast enough where it could cook out 400 burgers per hour if it had to. It's not saying that it's going to. It's saying that it has a sophistication to, like, trump five people in the kitchen. It could do it all by itself and make that gourmet customized burger that you want. I think that's phenomenal. That's why I need it at the house, bro.
Melt the cheese. Really? Okay. I'll pass on that one. That's a pad. But, you know, talk about automation, telling jobs, I guess. Again, much like the fossil fuel industry, the burger industry is going to have all these jobs misplaced. They'll have to go out and learn how to.
I can't even flip burgers anymore.
Terrible. Who's going to be on fries?
We talk about all the time, you know, autonomous vehicles not being able to make the ethical choice if something crosses in the road, what does it maneuver around or what does it hit? Let's go into the restaurant with the automated burger maker.
Man, cockroach gets in the joint.
Precisely. How does it know, like, hey, there's like this meat fell on the floor, or this is spoiled or whatever? Like, how does it know? Like,
don't know.
How do you trust that?
400 burgers an hour. There's no way to know. Like 400 burgers an hour.
Man.
You might get some dust, cockroach.
Man.
I mean, I guess human hair is
lawsuits,
not.
Lawsuits, baby.
I mean, I know, you know, the guy's flipping in the back who's constantly wiping his nose and flipping your burger.
I guess the same
and sneezing.
Thing.
I mean, yeah. I guess it's the same thing. Going to the bathroom and not washing his hands. Who knows? I mean, this burger, the machine is not didn't have any of those human error things. Last week, the Black Panther trailer dropped. They just dropped like a 30-second joint in the middle of the basketball game. It was the full. They called it a teaser. It was the teaser trailer, but it was like 1 minute of 1:39.
It's close to two, baby.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was fan effing. Fantastic. Everything about it. Had to run the jewels. Had your boys run the jewels on the soundtrack.
Please don't ever point to me and say that again.
RTJ, number one fan. Yeah, ELP Killer Mike. Come on, but that track, dropping that Run the Jewels, and that I thought the music was excellent.
It's like Major Day, right?
I was like, oh, Coogler! Coogler's a big Run the Jewels fan.
That was not Coogler's decision.
Oh, anyway. I read somewhere it was.
Okay.
But anyway, bottom line is, yeah, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, it looked great.
Black folks running around, that move. What do you think about your boy Michael B. Jordan's, like, weird dreadlock bang look?
I bet you you'll see a lot of cats doing that. You'll see it.
The first time I see...
making a fashion statement.
The first time I see a brother walking around with the fleck...
But that's a throwback to the 90s, early 90s, man. That's a throwback.
The dreadlock bangs?
Tell me Pooh Schnickens didn't have that.
They might have had a shit of ear, but I don't know if they had it, like, on the face, like... I don't know, but anyway, other than Michael B. Jordan and the dreadlock bangs, that shit looked incredible. It looked amazing, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Super excited about it.
All that stuff looks fantastic, and that's where we are. And then, I'm going to skip this story, but very quickly, I guess there was a Black Panther spinoff. They were going to do The Woman of Wakanda. It felt like it was just a something that happened in a marketing meeting, and they went it out, like, let's do a black woman thing. Woman of Wakanda. And someone's like, nah. They announced it.
No, but they did do it.
They announced it and canceled it 48 hours later.
I thought that they had done it and they had run it for a few months.
No.
And the sales declined over the months. And they were like, because the sales were declining, like,
you're right. They put it out there and then they dropped the trailer and then
it wasn't received well.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. John Wick, our boy John Wick's got a TV show coming. They thought they were going to do Young John Wick, but now they're not doing Young John Wick. They're doing about the hotel.
Stop the press, bro. I will have to say, I saw John Wick 2, and I apologize to you. That was a phenomenal movie.
Thank you!
It was a phenomenal movie.
Thank you! You're like, John Wick, what's going to happen? Pew,
pew. I still stand by my statement. I would not have went to go in the movies to see that. In the theaters to see that.
What about Common to walk?
And Common did his thing, boy.
Common did his thing, He was killed. That's one of like the. Common's got like 1 in 6 good performances.
Hey, he killed that one.
That's like the 1 in 6. I'm not mad at Common, but like, you know, he ain't exactly Denzel.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay. Speaking of Common, John Wick 2 is coming. It's almost here. I mean, John Wick, the TV show is coming. It is going to be about the hotel. Called the Continental, where all the thing goes down. It's kind of like a almost like an anthology thing where you get to see all the people come in and out. Keanu Reeves is maybe set to make an appearance there. That might be dope.
They said it might be like an origin story of how John Wick came into the hotel, how he got introduced to the life, right?
Well, they thought it was going to be like a young John Wick story, right. But now I thought they're saying like this is going to be about the Continental in general. Not
yeah,
really
but they're
going
to introduce him as a prequel to John Wick, the first one.
Okay, well that's cool. Last but not least, my boy John Boyega He's in this new movie Detroit.
Have you seen the trailer?
The trailer, yes. Yeah, the trailer is tight. It's directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who did Hurt Locker and, of course, Zero Dark Thirty.
And she's a badass filmmaker.
She knows how to direct movies. Absolutely. She's good at directing movies. She's good at directing action. She's good at directing intensity. I mean, Zero Dark Thirty, Hurt Locker,
classics.
Detroit. I mean, the trailer alone is making me like. The trailer makes me very uncomfortable.
Oh yeah,
true story.
You got the tension, baby.
Very true story. My man is still around. Like you know. So, and Boyega. You know, who people were kind of giving him a little bit of flack with his American accent in Star Wars. Hey, I thought it was a little like, come on, everybody. But he's cool. He's in there.
To be able to have the bandwidth to do a movie like Star Wars and to be able to do something more
Boyega's
theatrical and dramatic like this, that shows a lot.
He can act. No, exactly. he can definitely act. He got it. But I think they're just talking about his being British and American accent.
It didn't bother me.
I think his American accent sounds pretty good in here. He's into the Detroit accent. I'm all in. I can't wait to see it. That's all I got. What you got? Anything else?
Did you get a chance to see? It was a big social media thing with Obama sending the address for Jay-Z into the Songwriter Hall of Fame.
No.
Like Obama gave him his opening address before he received the award. It's pretty fresh.
What?
It's like a video, but it's funny because
Obama didn't rap. No,
it was just in camera saying like, "Hey, when I was on the campaign trail, you know, I had to dust off my shoulder a few times." Doing all these puns and stuff. Right. It's funny though.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
All right, Jay-Z.
Yes, sir.
Former President Obama. I mean, President Obama.
That's right.
44 giving you a shout out. That's pretty good for a rapper.
That's right, baby.
We'll see what happens. Is the record ever going to come out? All I want to know.
It's coming out.
When?
It's coming out in the fall, baby.
All right.
December 4th.
All right. I mean, we shall see. All right, man. That's really all I got. I'm nothing else.
Hey, man. Hey, we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
Where can they find you, man?
You can find me on Instagram at Joe K. Braswell and on Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. Where can people find you, sir?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE.
All right. Well, no movies, right? No movies once next year?
All eyes are on me.
Okay. Saw that. No eyes are going to be on that movie because, according to you.
So sad, though.
All right. Well, we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.